If you've been around church long, you would know easily how to finish the line, "The Lord is my," probably ends with shepherd, right? You don't even have to be around the church long to know that. If you've been, I don't want this to sound crass or anything, if you've been to a lot of funerals, right? This is a very popular text for funerals. Just a real quick kind of funny thing. Many of you knew Matthew Stevens. When Matthew Stevens was dying, he was in the hospital, and he planned out his funeral service, what he wanted it to be like. And at the very top of the page, it said, "Do not sing Amazing Grace. Do not read the 23rd Psalm." He was like, they do that at every funeral. They sing Amazing Grace, and they read the 23rd Psalm. And so don't do either one of those. And so unfortunately, I did not share that information with the pastor that was doing the funeral with me. And as we were walking into the sanctuary of that church, he turned around and looked at me and said, "By the way, I thought I would start the service by just reading the 23rd Psalm." And I thought he was joking, and I laughed. I just went, and he looked at me like, "Why are you laughing at me?" And I didn't have the heart to tell him Matthew did not want that psalm read at his funeral. And so, lo and behold, I'm sure Matthew was just chuckling wildly at me with his sense of humor in heaven. So the Lord is my shepherd. Very popular, but really, let's think about this here. When was the last time you hung around with real live woolly, fluffy sheep and a shepherd, right? So I was driving up through Dobbin the other day. Anybody else been to Dobbin recently? That's what I thought. One person's been to Dobbin. Dobbin. Got two other recent Dobbin visitors. Yes. And if you're driving through Dobbin, there are sheep. There are people up there who have big, fluffy sheep. And I just remember seeing them aside the road and going, "Well, how strange is that? Sheep right here." And there must be shepherds, or they just leave them out there to fend for themselves in the fence. But if you think about this, even if you don't know what it is, when you come to know what a shepherd is, what a shepherd does, no other word really works. The Lord is my boss, true. The Lord is my CEO, okay, that's kind of strange. The Lord is my project manager, my doctor, my financial planner. You can put lots of other words in there that either don't work or work and show just a little bit of the truth of what the Lord is for us. But when you start studying shepherds and sheep, you realize there just is no better word for the Lord's role in our lives and who we are to him and who he is to us than shepherd. And what we're going to see, John chapter 10 today, we start into this couple of weeks in John 10 where he's going to unpack this whole sheep and shepherd idea across an entire chapter. And if you want to sum up the work of a shepherd, is that a shepherd saves his sheep, and by saves we mean the fullest sense of the word. He rescues his sheep, he takes care of his sheep, he protects his sheep, he leads his sheep. And so sheep know what it is to be taken care of, to be rescued, to be kept safe, to be provided for. And so if the idea of saying I'm a sheep, you're a shepherd, just seems strange because you've never hung out with a shepherd before, we're going to spend some time. Jesus is even going to explain it with a little story to begin with. So he comes through in John chapter 9, really almost three chapters of extended teaching and debate there in Jerusalem. And so we saw that the teaching time kind of ended with them picking up rocks to throw at Jesus and kill him because he had said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they like, "Oh, we know what you're trying to say there. That's blasphemy. You're worthy of death." And so they were going to kill him, but it wasn't his time and place. And so he just kind of walked through the crowd. And so then he decided, "Well, I'm going to illustrate what it means when I say I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." And he did that by healing a man who had been born blind. Unfortunately, he did it on the wrong day of the week. That was the Sabbath. You don't do things like that on the Sabbath. Another big fight erupts and goes back and forth with the guy, and the guy gets kicked out of the synagogue and finds Jesus. He sees Jesus, and it moves right into chapter 10. And really, we're gonna turn kind of a corner with chapter 10. This will be really one of the last of Jesus' more extended teaching times. There'll be maybe one or two more, and then we'll come, if you have a red-letter Bible and you were to flip forward in the Gospel of John, You're going to see several chapters around 13, 14, 15, 16, and it's just, it's all red letters. It's Jesus, but it's Jesus praying. It's Jesus speaking with his disciples and praying. And so now here we have Jesus in public speaking and teaching, and he starts with a story, an everyday story, really, that everyone listening would have understood the story, only they didn't understand the story because, as it often was with Jesus, he would tell a story and they would be thinking, I think this is an illustration. I think this is a parable. And we're not sure what you're talking about, Jesus. And so he tells this story about sheep and shepherds and thieves and wolves and gatekeepers and strangers. But it says, you see in your text, he's using it as a figure of speech. Now, let me just put a picture up so that when we're telling the story, I'll turn this on. When we're telling the story, boom, boom, boom. So that's a sheepfold. That's a sheepfold that exists today. You could go to wherever that is and find that sheepfold if you wanted to. You can see it's made of rocks. You can see there's one little way in, one little way out, and you can see it's in the middle of nowhere. So you can make a sheepfold out of rocks. You can make a sheepfold out of branches and sticks and briars and thorns. You can make them tiny. You can make them great big. But Jesus is going to tell a story about a sheepfold. Lots of sizes, lots of ways to look at them, lots of places. Some even were made out of a cave. Just put this in front of a cave, and the cave serves as three walls, and you can just make one little wall in the front. Have that in mind. I think that one's prettier. So, as we read this story, starting in John chapter 10, verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus has yet to make any sort of spiritual application. He has yet to take that apart and say, well, this is this, this is this, this is this. He's telling an everyday story. So you can imagine a shepherd shepherding his flock, bringing them, let's say it's nighttime, and he's bringing them into the fold at night, and he leads them in through the little opening, the little door, and they are feeling nice and safe. The shepherd knows that tonight his sheep aren't going anywhere. Sheep can't leap the wall, right? It has not necessarily a door. It has an entrance. We'll come back to that in a minute. But Jesus does say in this little story he tells, there is another way in. You can climb over the wall. But there's only one kind of person who climbs over a wall. That person is a thief or a robber. Robbers don't use the door. But the thief has a problem. The thief can't exactly pick up a sheep and throw it back over the wall into the outside, right? Yeah, that wouldn't work. So he has to figure a way to get the sheep out. If he tries to get the sheep through the door, there's two problems. There's either a gatekeeper or a shepherd at the door. So he has to get the sheep past them. But he's got an even bigger problem. He has to get the sheep to follow him out. Come on, sheep. Right? Sheepy, sheepy, however you call a sheep. Come on, fluffies, this way. And there's a problem because Jesus says in the story, the sheep only know and follow one voice, and that's the voice of their shepherd. So the thief isn't going to be able to get the sheep to do what he wants them to do because they don't recognize him. So you can imagine him in there with these sheep, and they keep running from him because they're like, we don't know you. We don't recognize your voice. So the thief is foiled by the shepherd potentially and by the sheep potentially. And sometimes a sheepfold would be big enough for two or three flocks to be in there at once. Maybe it's like in a location where shepherds are coming together, and you might have two or three flocks spending the night in there. In that case, you would have a gatekeeper who knows the shepherds, and he would guard the entrance, and he would let only the shepherds in and out. And this seems like a huge problem, right? I mean, let's be honest. Sheep pretty much look alike. all of them, maybe different colors. But just imagine, let's say, 300 sheep, and you've got 100 apiece, and they're all mixed in together. To you and me, look, it's a bunch of sheep. But that's not true for shepherds. He says here, the shepherd knows his sheep. So the shepherd could go through the flock and say, mine, mine, and he could name them maybe even, right? He knows them by name. This is Bert, and that's Ernie, and that's right, and he's got them all named. So the sheep then will not follow another shepherd. They still only know their shepherd's voice. So when it's time to leave the pen, one shepherd can speak, and the sheep will sort themselves out and unmix themselves and go to the shepherd and follow him wherever he goes. He's not behind them pushing. He just speaks to his sheep, and they go out. That's the illustration. That's the story. Very simple. Simple little story, simple little picture. And the people are like, okay, he must be getting at something. We're not sure what it is. So Jesus explains in verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And then verse 19 and 20 and 21 ends it. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. And you're listening to that going, really? They're divided over this? He's talking about sheep, shepherd, and wolves. And said, what? What? And many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So the blind guy, you know, obviously they're still thinking about this. So Jesus tells a story about himself as the sheep, the shepherd of the sheep, the door into, in other words, you come into the sheepfold, you go through me. And they think he's a demon. They think he's demon-possessed. They think he's crazy for equating himself. And so let's think about the big picture of this, because they're getting this maybe in a way that we're not. You go back in the history of Israel and you realize kings were often called shepherds. Kings were often called the shepherds of the people, probably because we get David at the beginning. Priests, scribes, teachers were supposed to be called shepherds of the people. If you look through the Psalms, oftentimes the Lord is called our shepherd. They cry out to God like sheep crying out to a shepherd. And then where we see, I think, Jesus, there's a really long passage in Ezekiel 34, and because it's an entire chapter, I won't read it to you. But basically in Ezekiel 34, there's a prophecy. As a matter of fact, if you have headings in your Bible, mine says, prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And he says to the shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. And so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. So God's looking at the leaders of his people, the people who are supposed to be feeding and taking care of his people, and he's like, you're using the people. You're using the people to get rich. You're using the people to better yourselves, and they're injured and you're not helping them. They're sick and you're not helping them. They're scattered and you're not bringing them back in. The people are there for you instead of you being there for the people. And my people are a wreck because you shepherds are in it for yourselves. And he says, shepherds of Israel, there is trouble coming. But then he says in Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Great words from some of the songs we sang today. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered. It goes on and hope for a whole chapter there. Talking about God judging the selfish, self-centered shepherds and how he will rescue the sheep. So if you picture in the Old Testament, the Lord is constantly cried out to as the shepherd of his people, and the Lord constantly telling his people, you're my sheep, I'm your shepherd. And then Jesus comes along and says, well, I'm the good shepherd. And he's just told them before Abraham was, I am. You see what he's doing. He's taking on the role of Yahweh, the Lord, the shepherd of Israel, and he's saying, I'm that one. I'm the shepherd of these people. I'm the good shepherd. I'm in charge of the sheepfold. And they say, no, you're insane. You're demon-possessed. And all the people are going, wait a minute, how's that work? He just healed a blind man, right? So always the division here. Now, there's so much to get into, so much ways we go this, because a lot of what we learn about our good shepherd here, half of it comes from what he does not do. He offers us some really bad examples and says, I'm not that. But just look at what the good shepherd does. We saw he calls his sheep by name. He loves every individual sheep personally. He knows the name of every individual sheep. He can be in a huge sheepfold, and he can say to one sheep back on the back, hey, call the name, and the sheep will wind its way to the shepherd. Just by name. I see you back there, right? Come up here. I have something for you. He loves the sheep personally. He loves them as a flock. So there's an individual aspect to this, but it also says that he is gathering and creating one flock. So it's not just a me, it's an us. And so he knows every individual sheep. He knows them as a flock. It says he goes ahead of them. He doesn't push. He goes ahead of them. It says he leads and he brings them in and out. So they go out into the pasture for the day. They do their sheepy thing all day long out there eating. And he's like, hey, sheep, follow me back home. The sheep know his voice and they follow him. And he says the thief, oh, this is like the heart of this whole thing. Maybe you memorized this verse some point in your life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. I have a hard time believing that life to the full, maybe your Bible says, is just about the stuff. He's drawing a picture here that there's a thief. He says, everyone who came before me was a thief and a robber. He says, thieves and robbers, they just destroy sheep. They divide sheep. They scatter sheep. They steal from the sheep. They think the sheep are there for them instead of saying, I'm here for the sheep. And it's interesting. I always hear people applying this to the devil. And it's just fascinating to me that nowhere in this passage does he talk about the devil. He's talking about bad shepherds. He's talking about the people who are supposed to be shepherding Israel. He says, all who came before me, everybody who was supposed to be fulfilling this role, even the people who thought they were a Messiah and tried to convince you they were Messiah, everyone who came before me, it's just been one bad shepherd after another. And he says, they're harsh with you. Jesus said, you bind loads on their backs. You don't even help them carry it, he says in another place. They scatter you. They kill. In other words, you've had these shepherds and you get no life at all from them. They're not life-giving shepherds. They're life-taking shepherds. He says, I'm the opposite of that. I'm a life-giving shepherd, and I don't just portion it out in thimbles. I give it abundantly. I give it to the full. And so this has to be more than just stuff, right? So you can have an abundance of stuff, right? Maybe you've heard it like that. Yeah, God wants you to have abundant life. That means more and better. And frankly, if you try to climb into the mind of a sheep, you can't come to that conclusion. You just can't imagine a sheep out in a field going, oh, grass again. Oh, what I wouldn't give for a loaded baked potato. You know, steak, shepherd, anything besides grass, right? Why do we have to walk everywhere? Can you not get us one of those 12-passenger vans maybe and just drive us back and forth? I'm just kind of tired of this. And maybe some little things that give us some water. Why do we have to go all the way down to the stream? You know, it's like, no, it's like, a sheep that has life to the full is a content sheep, right? It's the sheep that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. Not the Lord is my shepherd. Give me more. The Lord is my shepherd. Look what I have. I'm a content, happy sheep. I'm not looking around going, anybody got a better shepherd? Ours makes us walk everywhere and just eat grass. Anybody got better than this? No, this is a content, joyful, happy sheep. And the beautiful part, the powerful part is that the way all of this comes to be, the way all of this is purchased for us, the way we come into the fold, right, the way we go through the door is he says, I am the door. So at night, when you guys want to lay down and you want to be at peace, and sheep will not lay down and sleep till they are at peace, is I'm going to get in front of the door. Two things, I'm protecting you and you don't get in any other way. If you want into the sheepfold of God, Jesus narrows it down and says, nope, there's not like options. There's not like 100 ways into the sheepfold. Just whatever works for you, right? Whatever you feel in your heart is a good way into the sheepfold. Who am I to say, right? No, it's like, I'm the door. If you want in, come to me. But then he says, the way this is all going to happen is because I lay down my life sheep. And he goes back again. The Father and I, we are in relationship with the Father. I know him, he knows me. And so he sent me to lay down my life for this flock. And there's some other sheep, all the Gentiles, the nations, I'm going to bring them in too. I know anyone who's any former Mormons or, you know, if you've ever had the Mormons knock on your door, they're going to say, oh, this is the Mormons. He has other sheep. That's us. I've even seen that on TV on their commercials. No, sorry. It's not what that is. He's going to bring the nations in. If you know Mormons, they do need to meet the shepherd. They're just not the other sheep, right? And so he's like, the Father's love is seen in this, that I became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And did you hear the words? No one takes my life from me. Now, he's going to tell them in advance, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to hand me over to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are going to mock me, beat me, kill me. He says that, but he also comes back around and says, they're not taking my life from me. I'm handing it over. There's even that scene at the very end of the crucifixion where it says he gave up his spirit. Kind of this voluntary moment where he says, okay, I'm done. I'm done. Here's my spirit. Here it is. We're done. As if to say he was in control down to the last moment. And he says, I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to raise it up again. Listen, if someone tells you in advance exactly how they're going to die and tells you they're going to come back to life, can I just give you just a little hint? Listen to them. Listen to them. If you have that kind of authority, and I don't just mean power, I mean authority, right? You know the difference. You've heard me tell this before. The difference between power and authority, right? You're in a restaurant and a rhinoceros comes crashing through the window, right? And your friend pulls out their rhinoceros rifle. And they shoot the rhinoceros. They go over, grab the rhinoceros by the tail, and they drag it and throw it out of the curb. You know what that is? That's power. Let me tell you what authority is. Rhinoceros crashes through the window. You stand up at your table and you say, "Hey, rhinoceros, out of here." "Okay." And he runs out. That's authority. That's the difference between authority and power, right? And Jesus says, "I don't have to just have power. I have authority. And you've seen me speak and make things happen." Right? And we're going to see him in the very next chapter speak, and someone's going to come back to life. And he does that with himself. And it says the Spirit's involved. There's this resurrection happening where Jesus is like, "Okay, let's get back in this body. Let's do this. Let's come out of this," right? And then you got these others. It says they steal, they kill, they destroy. He describes a hired hand. We got the hireling, the old Bible translation says. He's actually this hireling. He's just hired in. He doesn't have anything invested in these sheep. And when a wolf shows up and there's danger, he doesn't lay down his life for the sheep. He doesn't dare risk himself to protect them because he has nothing invested. They're not his sheep. And so he's just like, "I'm out of here. Sorry, sheep. I hope you do well with that wolf." And it says the wolf comes in, picks a sheep, chomp, and drags it away. And the rest of the sheep are like, running for their lives behind the hired hand who's running faster than they are. And he says, "That's not me." Why? Because I am invested in my sheep. I love my sheep. I know my sheep. Individually, as a group, I know them by name. I'm not apathetic about them. I'm not in to just take life from them, right? So I'm not like that. Thus they say, "You're crazy. Crazy." And again, this comes down to us. The beautiful, beautiful thing. How does Jesus do this? How does Jesus become the shepherd? He becomes the shepherd by becoming a lamb. And that beautiful, beautiful thought. If you jump over to Revelation 5 and you see the ultimate fulfillment of this verse, and you see the words in Revelation 5, and you're wondering, these other sheep he's bringing in, where are they coming from? And Revelation 5 says, "Oh, they're coming from everywhere. They're coming from all over. They sang a new song, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language, people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.'" Every tribe, tongue, language, every people, every nation, Jesus the shepherd is bringing them in. How does Jesus purchase a flock? By dying to save the flock. He's the lamb that becomes the great shepherd. So, all of that is his work. He does all of that. He saves. He leads. He provides. He calls. He gives the pasture. He gives the abundant life. So apparently, as we look at this, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to listen. Listen. Spend time listening. Getting to know the Savior's voice. So then when someone comes to you and knocks on your door and says, "This is what God says to you," you can look at them and say, "That doesn't sound like Jesus. I've been listening to Jesus. I've been in this book, the Bible. I've been hearing what he says. And frankly, I don't recognize the voice that's coming to me through you. And so you're praying for discernment. You listen and you know. And there's relationship. Jesus is going to say when we get to John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Eternal life is knowing God. It's being in a relationship where he knows each and every person in this room individually by name, and he loves you right now where you sit. He knows your name. You're not foreign to him. You're not what's your name to him. You're not I can't remember to him. You're not you look familiar to him. Have I met you before? Have we seen? Am I acquainted? Do we have a friend? What? No, it's like, I know you. I know your name. I know all about you. And he loves you right where you are. He says, will you listen? Will you get to know my voice? Not just so you can tell everybody, hey, I know his voice, but so that you can follow him. I'm the light of the world. Whoever walks with me, follows me, will not walk in darkness. That's the constant call, is to be a disciple, to follow, to take a step of faith, and to receive life. If he's the giver of life, Peter's going to say later on, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Ours is to be content with the fact that he has given us everything we need for life. He's a good shepherd. To be able to recognize a hired hand, to be able to recognize a thief. And then to realize, as we think about the tree, this is where our roots go. This is the life that's coming into us. And so you start thinking about your own role as maybe a parent, right? And it's like, maybe I'm a shepherd in my house. Dad's the family shepherd, right? Shepherding this little flock under my roof, right? Providing, leading, pointing them to a greater shepherd. Elders of a church are called shepherds underneath a shepherd. It's a frightening, frightening thing to be an elder. We introduced a potential new elder today. You should go, that's scary. Why would anybody want to do that? You know, be a shepherd? I thought, geez, oh, yeah, take it, right? No, you're like, yes, pray for that person. Talk about that. Will you pray with me just for a moment? Lord, we want to listen. We want to follow no other voice. Even as we sing, we want to be able to say, ah, this sounds so familiar. These are my shepherd's words. Jesus, you call us out of this world. You call us out of death and into life. You call us out of blindness and into the light. You give us ears to hear, feet to walk on. And God, I know that there are people in this room who've been told so many times that God loves them. That they think, well, it just must be his job. I fully believe, God, that our lives would be so transformed if we fully believed how loved we are, how known we are. You love me. You can't love me more. You can't love me less. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. I can't fake it. But it's mine. Lord, would you convince us right now in this room of that? May we sing this last song like loved people. And God, sometimes you lead us to the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you lead us in very rocky paths. Sometimes you lead us in great difficulty. But you do it because you love us. If you didn't love us, you wouldn't lead us at all. And you're taking us to a beautiful place. Sometimes the most difficult road takes us to the most beautiful place. Because you're a good shepherd. So just right now in this room, may we know that we're known. May we love that we're loved. Oh, make us an attentive people. People on the lookout for the leadership of our shepherd. On the lookout for the next step to take, the next step on the path. Where are you taking me, Jesus? Where are you taking me, Good Shepherd? What courageous step have you put in front of me? What step of faith did you put in front of me? Jesus, we look forward to the day when we get to praise you with all the languages, all the skin colors, all the tribes from all the places. And don't know how you're going to do that. I love the idea that we're all just going to understand each other. And we're all going to look at each other with great big smiles on our faces. We're just going to say, yeah, he's my shepherd too. How'd he get you here? Oh, you came through the door. Ain't he good? Let's sing another song. Let's praise the Lamb. Let's praise the Lamb who became our shepherd. What a call. What a call this is to walk with you wherever you would lead. We praise you, Shepherd Jesus, in whom is everything we need.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.